Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Yep, no problem. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hope you are as well. So, Jim, what stood out to you? I guess a couple of things that stood out to you on day one of training camp yesterday on the field for the Titans.
Well, and I know you guys have been talking about him. I think Treylon Burks, the first thing, because we had not seen a day like that from him so far. So for him to make a diving catch on a deep ball on the second play of the 707 and then make a couple more catches and really just be able to finish practice and look good, I thought that stood out the most. I think it was very encouraging to see Robert Woods and Caleb Farley out there without the knee braces on. I don't know that that's, you know, I don't know. I still think there could be days where those guys will put them on in certain drills as they still continue to work their way back. But I thought, you know, I just think every step that those guys make, that's a big sign of improvement, is a big positive. And then I think just overall, and I think, you know, for the most part, I thought guys looked like they were in good shape and raring to go. And I know this is a different start to training camp than maybe way back in the day where you're hitting the ground running. There's more of an acclimation period now, but I thought everything was went kind of according to plan, and there were more positives than negatives out of day one.
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you on, you know, on Farley in particular. Obviously Treylon Burks makes some big plays, and he was such a topic during the spring, so of course that's a big deal. But I did spend a lot of time watching Farley, and I really like how he's moving. I feel like he's more fluid and he's stronger, and he just looks confident out there. I thought he had some really good moments in coverage. What did you think just specifically of his day and where things are going for him? I've kind of wondered, you know, what's that corner spot going to look like after one day, in which, of course, we can all overreact. I feel a lot more confident that he's going to be that other starting outside corner when the Giants game arrives.
Yeah, I like what I've seen. I probably didn't see it, watch him as close as it sounds like you did, Joe. I mean, I noticed him out there, and I kind of was eyeballing him and some of the stuff, and I do think he looks a lot more confident. He's definitely bigger up top than he was last year, and I know Mike Vrabel's talking about that. He kind of used a funny line about no longer looks like his jersey's hanging on a coat hanger. But I think that Farley, you know, as a result of everything he did leading up to yesterday and everything he's really done in the rehab, put him in a good mindset. And now really he just needs work. I mean, that's the problem with him is since he's been here. I mean, last year in camp, he really, you know, didn't really get clear to do anything until late. It was just kind of a slow process. And he dealt with his shoulder and then the knee got hurt and never could put together a long stretch where he could feel like himself again. And I think now he's in a good headspace and just needs to play. I mean, and that's the biggest thing with him is he needs to line up and get beat on some plays and then learn from that. And I think that will come during the course of camp.
Jim, we talked about this earlier. You know, I pay attention to Vrabel when he brings guys up kind of on his own when he's not asked about it. And he did that a few times this offseason with Caleb Farley, and he's done it with Des Fitzpatrick as well. I'm just curious your impressions of Des Fitzpatrick on day one and overall just from everything that you've seen, everything that you've heard about from him, how much progress do you think Fitzpatrick has made from year one to year two?
Yeah, and it is interesting because you're right. I mean, I think at some point when you beat a guy down for so long, and I'm not saying they were beating him down, but they were critical of him last year, and I think they were trying to jumpstart him and try to get more out of him. And then it seems like things changed a little bit where they were trying to encourage him and compliment him. And I think Des Fitzpatrick has done a lot of things right since he got cut and re-signed. I mean, he went down to Florida and threw with Ryan Tannehill this offseason. And other than A.J. Brown, I don't know if any other guys did that down in Florida. So I think he made a good effort there. You know, I was at Ryan Tannehill's camp on Sunday, and Fitzpatrick was one of the guys that was out there just kind of showing face there, supporting him. I think he's put the work in. I think he's trying to be a good teammate and show he can be trusted on it. As far as what he's done on the field, I think he was a little up and down during the OTAs and minicamp. I thought he finished on a high note. I don't think he's a lock by any stretch to be on this team, and I think they need to see consistency from him. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that pool behind Woods, Burks, or Westbrook Akina who are iffy. I mean, I think Phillips is on the team, so that's four, and then you've got a group that includes, you know, Josh Malone and Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath, who you know is going to be able to help you on special teams, and a guy like Hollister and Kinsey, some other guys that are battling. So Fitzpatrick's in that group, and he's going to have to be consistent because I don't know, even though they praised him a lot, I still think he was a little bit up and down through the offseason and needs to really level out and continue on an upward track.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree totally with that. Jim, quick practice yesterday, I think it ended a little earlier than scheduled. Seemed, you know, crisp, kind of, it seemed like Vrabel was pretty happy with everything. What did you think just of the overall practice and I guess where Vrabel is with this team in terms of, you know, leadership, professionalism, all that stuff?
Well, I think he likes where they are. I mean, there are obviously some question marks with this team, and we've talked about a couple of them, about who emerges at receiver and what happens at corner. You know, you lose Buster Skrine, and you need guys like Farley to take a big step. You know, we haven't gotten an offensive line, but obviously need somebody to win that job at left guard and at right tackle. I think he'll know when to push him. I think we're in a stretch now at the start. Instead of really hitting the ground running and going full throttle, he's in a position, partly because of league rules, that you've got to tone things down a little bit more. I think today's practice will probably be even maybe lighter and less intense than yesterday, to be honest with you. But that's going to change. I mean, once we get past the end of this week and some of those rules are loosened up, I think that's when you'll see pads come on. That's when you'll see more competitive drills. So it's kind of still kind of an ease-in acclimation process that they're going through.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jim, just from your vantage point, watching Ryan Tannehill, observing, you know, what he says in press conferences, all these things. Where do you think he is right now in terms of just mentally heading into the season, given the Cincinnati game, given everything that happened this offseason, and now trying to reset heading into this year? What's kind of been your viewpoint on how he's handled that to this point?
Well, I think he's handled it well. I mean, there's no question he was dealing with a lot of pain and anguish and some of the aftermath of what happened last season. I mean, feeling like he let his teammates down and feeling like he really, cost the team the game. I mean, he didn't say that in those exact words, but I've heard him talk several times on end of last season, and you can tell how much it bothers him. And there are going to be some people in the fan base and some people around the country who are not going to really trust him or believe in him until he gets back to the playoffs and wins and plays better. And And he can't do anything about that because you got to take it one week at a time. You got to get through the preseason. You got to get through the regular season. You got to put yourself in a position to give yourself a chance to do that. And for him, I mean, he's going to have to be patient. And patience and, you know, in trying to get back there, but also patience with guys around him. And, yeah, Burks looked good yesterday, but he's got to be able to continue to build a chemistry and have trust in him. You know, he hasn't been out there with Robert Woods a lot, hardly at all really in team drills. He's got a couple of new tight ends and Hooper and Okonkwo. He's got, you know, two-fifths of the offensive line that he doesn't really know what it's going to look like and know whether he can trust those guys until he plays with them. So there's a lot of things around him he's just going to have to be patient on. I thought he got off to a good start yesterday. I mean, you don't want to make too big of a deal out of a Treylon Burks practice after day one. You don't want to make too big of a deal out of Ryan Tannehill going 11 for 11 in his first practice because a lot of it was 7 on 7 and just a couple of those throws came in team periods. But I thought he got off to a good start. I thought he had a good off season. I think he's in a much better place mentally. And now he's just gotta kind of take it as it comes.
Well, speaking of perfection, Jim, I only go to you on, you know, on the kickers. Like you are the judge of the kickers. Like, you know, I look at Jim, whatever you say good or not, that's what I go with. But Randy Bullock, pretty good day for him. I thought maybe he'd have some competition. I guess maybe that could still materialize. But what did you think of him, and what do you think of that situation?
Yeah, he did. He was good yesterday. 8-8, longest one from 50. And I think he will have competition. I mean, Shudak started on PUP. I thought he was really good this offseason. I think both are specialists. They're undrafted free agents. You know, Stonehouse, the punter, and Shudak, the kicker. I was impressed by both of them in the offseason. I mean, a lot of times you bring in camp legs just to kind of help get you through. I thought both of them, you know, Stonehouse can bomb it punting and then Shudak, you know, to start off the offseason, 17 and 19 until he had a bad day, went 2-5, got hurt, and we haven't seen him since. He was an interesting find. I mean, he wasn't even on their radar. They went and saw, I guess, an Iowa pro day, and then they noticed him. And I think GM said, you know, who's this 5'5", 5'6" kicker out here, you know, bombing some of these field goals? And they sent, you know, Aukerman out there to watch him and were impressed with him enough to sign him, and I thought he did well during the offseason. So once he's healthy, and I don't get the sense he's going to be out too much longer, I think you're going to see both those guys kick in practices and games. I think Bullock, obviously the favorite, he got a new contract. He got some money that went with that. But Chudak's a guy to kind of keep on the radar moving forward.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Jim, great stuff as always. Have fun out there today, day two on the field, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you out there, Joe.
All right, buddy.
There we go. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll get Joe Rexro's takeaways from day one on the field of Titans training camp as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025-1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, we're taking donations to provide shoes for children in need for this school year, but we can't do it without you. So please help, consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Thanks to Jim Wyatt for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 9 o'clock to relive a little bit of the Jared versus Joe victory that Joe Rexrode brought to the table yesterday. I know Joe is teeming with excitement about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can even listen to myself.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
Or Jared, for that matter.
Well,
maybe I just won't. How about you just talk to Jared? Can we just do that at 9? I'll start driving to the facility.
We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. So, Joe, day one on the field yesterday. We heard some of what Jim Wyatt took away from the practice yesterday. What were your big takeaways from day one yesterday? What were you looking for, and what stood out to you on the field for the Titans in day one?
I'll read some of my awesome notes for you. Writing up some lineup stuff. Can't say that on the air, although some people ask questions about it to try to bypass that rule. Some notes that I have. Big letters, bomb, Burks. Pass Fulton, 17 throws it. Wow. That's my notation.
Great
that's,
notes.
That's my analysis, yes. I had Farley locks up Woods. That was one of my things I watched. Burks, strong route, comeback, catch versus Farley. Good coverage, good play. Talked about that earlier in the show. It was one of those both sides should feel actually pretty good about it. It was physical coverage, tight coverage for Farley. Good timing and physicality in hands between Tannehill and from Burks, and then good timing with Tannehill between him and Tannehill. So another play that I haven't talked about yet, Derrick Henry is out there doing team stuff. Of course, shorts, helmets, no contact, but he's running the ball yesterday, looking pretty good. By the way, like we haven't one time today mentioned 22, and looked like Derrick Henry, but. There was a run play, and so Farley's on the left side of the defense, and there's a run play flowing, so it's flowing left away from him, and then Henry cuts back hard and takes it like outside, the other way. And this is a play that, of course, it's Farley on an island with Derrick Henry. And, there's no contact. He just kind of runs by him. Okay, blow the whistle, next play. But I looked at that play, and I was like, he could have killed him there. Like, it's like this. Talk about a nightmare if you're a corner and you get a Derrick Henry cutback and it's you and him,
Yeah. I've seen how that ends a few times.
Yeah. So there was a lot of, again, I saw a lot of Farley, liked a lot of Farley. I did another thing that I saw that we haven't talked about yet, and this gets into the rules. Can't talk about where people line up and things like that, but I will say that in general, I thought the Titans got Chigakonkwo involved. He caught quite a few passes from Tannehill, short passes, but it looked like first day impression to me is they feel like he's someone they'd like to get some run after the catch from, which makes sense. Not saying he's going to be Jonnu Smith, 2.0, but there were a few moments where I said, okay, they want to get him the ball, and they like the idea of, getting the ball in his hands quickly, seeing what he can do with it. So look for that.
Boy, you love you some Jonnu Smith.
Well, Jonnu Smith, that's the thing. The Titans were the most it was just with Henry and A.J. Brown. The most difficult to tackle. Now, you may have something with – you got Derrick Henry still, Chig, and Burks. He could be that kind of guy too. But, I think Jonnu Smith's going to have a good year in New England. What else – was out there in my notes. I'm talking about some Dez good plays. There was another play that was Malik Willis over the middle to Racy McMath. The ball wobbled a little bit on him, but it was one of those, but it still was an absolute scorcher. It was one of those throws that you're like, he got it to him. It was a little behind him too. It was over the middle. Yep. But it was one of those throws that, a lot of quarterbacks couldn't even think to try to make the throw, and he got it there, and McMath made a good catch. So, the arm strength was on display, but I didn't come away with a ton. There's limited reps here, and I didn't come away with a ton on Willis yesterday. There wasn't really even a ton of, Austin Hooper involvement yesterday, but that certainly will be he will be involved. So it's one day. Today could be a quiet day for Treylon Burks. And if it is, then the important thing is he out there doing everything, continuing to build that chemistry?
What did you make of Tannehill's day yesterday? We heard Jim talk about it in the last segment. 11 for 11 for Tannehill. It is training camp. There's no pads. It's a very different environment out there. But obviously, it's good to see the quarterback play well. What did you make of Tannehill and what that could potentially mean moving forward?
Well, it totally carries over to the season. So I think this means in the first quarter against the Giants, he's going to be 11 for 11. I think that's how it works. I think that's just math. In all seriousness, Tannehill looked good. He'll probably continue to look good. But it's interesting. It was Kayla talking earlier about his leadership, and she detects a difference. And that's interesting. I wonder if he's being a little bit more intentional. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I've noticed that too. But I'm going to watch for that. I've always thought he's been good as a leader. I noticed a quote from Matt Ryan yesterday. I'm going to paraphrase it, but he was asked, how do you lead your teammates or how do you keep them engaged? And his quote was like, keep my foot up their bleep. I don't know why I bleeped that, but maybe just because Matt Ryan, I can't imagine him saying a swear word. But no. That's what the Colts think they're getting in him, which would be a big improvement from what they had with Carson Wentz. I think Tannehill's been a good leader. It's hard to lead as well when you aren't playing as well. But maybe if you're Tannehill, you have to look at this year like this is a critical crossroads year in your NFL career. So maybe we will see an effort to step up and be a little bit more vocal. Again, I don't think he necessarily needs to change anything in that way. He needs to play better in certain moments, but that's something interesting to watch.
It's something interesting to watch. He was kind of asked about it yesterday and said he doesn't really feel like he's been more vocal, but it's going to kind of lead the way that he has always led. So that will be interesting to monitor. What's your thoughts on that as we move forward here? We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. We'll get to Joe's thoughts on Treylon Burks and Caleb Farley yesterday coming up next as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, you said it right. For 30 years, it's been pills, needles, injections, chemicals, recovery time, and needles. Yeah, let's get that off the table. It's the future, guys. We have a technology, not a pill, called acoustic wave therapy. It's a machine. It sits right on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through your skin into your blood vessels, helping them to expand to allow for more blood flow, oftentimes repair themselves. So unlike traditional methods, you could be looking at an end date to your ED without the pill.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this acoustic wave therapy technology?
Well, thankfully, this is a heavily vetted technology. The likes of Cambridge and the Cleveland Clinic have studied this. But go to our website, click that science tab. It's going to be 60 independent placebo-controlled clinical studies. They're all calling it safe and effective. Some are even calling it the new standard of care for ED.
And I hear you have a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
Well, I never show up empty-handed. Today is no exception. Guys, call us right now. You're going to get the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound all for free. Plus, we have that additional gift. It provides powerful results in the bedroom. That's free as well. All you got to do, pick up the phone, call us now, or log onto our website and chat with us there.
You heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000.
How important was it just for you, for your own peace of mind and comfortability standpoint, was to come out today and have a good showing on day one, given what you've gone through?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I really wasn't thinking like that. I was just thinking go out there, practice like a pro, be a pro, and just be a part of the team, and just play my role like Coach Vrabel says every day, and just show up and gain that respect from Ryan and also everybody else on the team, all the vets, and just let them know that I'm not here just to make money. I'm here to win the championship.
That was Treylon Burks yesterday after Titans practice, day one of Titans training camp. By the way, our coverage of Titans training camp presented by USA Hemp Store and Farman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. So, Joe, Treylon Burks turning a lot of heads yesterday. What did you make of Treylon Burks and his day? And I guess how surprised were you that he looked as good as he looked out there yesterday?
Well, I wasn't surprised that he would look in shape. We talked about it before practice. Diana Rossini has good sources in the Titans organization. Put something out there on the Athletic podcast with Robert Mays that he had lost weight. And again, like anything but that outcome would be the surprising, shocking, and very troubling thing, right? You sure as heck would hope that whatever all went into the spring, that the weeks between the end of minicamp and the beginning of training camp would be intense work to get in better shape. And obviously that happened. So I wasn't surprised to see him in shape. I guess I was surprised that right away in the early stages of practice, he's out there with Tannehill making a huge play. I mean, that's probably a big moment for him. Tannehill, I mean, his celebration, you know, on that play kind of said something too, right? I mean, he, of course, knows what went on with Burks in the spring and how important it is to try to get his confidence going. So he made that play, and he made a few other really good plays. He looked good out there. I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I'd say it's probably went about as well as you could have hoped if you're Treylon Burks or the Titans.
Well, and now can you stack some of those days together? I mean, we talked about it yesterday leading into camp. You know, it sounds like he's back in shape, and that's what the Diana Rossini report said. He was out there yesterday. He got through the whole day. So if you're Treylon Burks, can you continue to build on that? Because, Joe, this kind of goes back to what we talked about yesterday. Once you get through all the stuff with him that we've talked about with the conditioning, the asthma, all of it, the fact is he's a pretty good player and was a pretty good player at Arkansas as well. So now that hopefully the conditioning part of it is behind him, what interests me now with Treylon Burks is, all right, well, what sort of weapon can he be from the jump this year from the Titans? Is he ready to be a guy that they trust to play a significant portion of a game? You know, after the catch, are there specific plays that they're going to dial up for him to see what he can do with the ball in his hands? Like, how big of a factor can he force his way into the conversation of being by the time the Giants game rolls around? That's what I'm interested in seeing, if the conditioning stuff is going to be put behind it.
Yeah, and I've got to think they'll do some stuff like they did with A.J. Brown. It makes sense. I mean, there is an obvious comparison there. Not the exact same player by any means, but there's an obvious comparison, and I think just the biggest thing you want right away that you know could be good is that Treylon Burks gets the ball quickly. I just said it about Chigakonkwo, and someone on the text line asked about him, I guess, from last segment I was talking about. Yeah, I'm not saying Chigakonkwo looked amazing or anything. Like, again, it's like run after the catch stuff now is basically non-existent, you know?
Right.
But you could see the potential there. You can certainly see it with Burks. You know, some of those play action stick routes, quick hitters, get him the ball, let him try to make something happen, break a tackle. If you think back to A.J. Brown's rookie year, it was a lot of that early and then more and more and more as the season went on. And so I think certainly early this year, as long as, like you said, he's going to stack these days, stay out there, be good, keep working, I think you'll see that. Like, can he put together, you know, a more complete season than that? As a guy who, in a critical third and nine, he's out there. They've got trust. He and Tannehill make a sight adjustment. You know, he knows what's going on. He sees the coverage. He makes a huge play, you know, in tight coverage on a key moment. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get to that. I think right now the two guys who would be more likely to be trusted and on the field in that situation would be Woods and Westbrook-Ikhina. And get Burks to that situation, you have options there. That's a big deal for this offense.
And then, Joe, on the other side of the field, you were paying pretty close attention to Caleb Farley yesterday. What's your kind of first impressions on the progress that he's made and just how he looks out there with his size, his strength, his speed, settling into that position at the NFL level?
Yeah, I've been shouting down the idea of overreacting to Burks, so I can't then be a hypocrite and overreact to Caleb Farland one day. But I did watch him a lot, and I really feel like he's possibly benefited from – you're never benefiting from an ACL, okay? But just from the time off, he looks – I thought last year, before he got hurt with the knee – obviously, he was a rookie, and he's trying to figure everything out and all that stuff. He's swimming, so that's part of it. But and, of course, he also was still – they had to – right? He didn't come right out in the start of camp and do everything. They had to ramp him up. But I thought even when he was on the field last year that he looked a little stiff to me. And it's hard to know, though. Like, it's like, is that a physical thing? Are you just expecting that because you know of the back history? Or is it more like not knowing what to do? All I know is that he looks bigger and stronger for sure. He looks way more confident, and he looks more fluid to me. I'd actually like I'm going to ask some other people out there today first of all, I'm going to see if I see it again today, and if others agree with that. Because, again, I could be overreacting, but I thought so. I thought he looked fluid, and, some of it is you can tell out there that he knows what they're in and he's seeing what's coming and he's reacting well just, in terms of the cerebral part of the game. And we heard a lot of that from Vrabel, volunteered by Vrabel in the offseason. But I do feel like there's a more fluid nature to the way he's running. And he looked to me like, okay, that looks like a first-round pick corner who just has that little extra length and size that you just don't usually see from guys who can run that well. And if my impression is correct, then I think the Titans really may have something here.
Well, and it's interesting because, a lot of people buried him last year after the injury. I mean, we talked about the injury problems in the list, heading into the draft. Then the Titans ultimately draft him, and he gets hurt and tears his ACL last year. And I think a lot of Titans fans thought to themselves, all right, well, here we go. He's a bust. He's injured all the time, and it's going to be what it is. Like, if he turns into a legitimate player, all of a sudden you look at this defense, like, starter-wise, Joe, he's the one question I have. Like, he's it. Everybody else I feel pretty good about in terms of their starting players. If he turns into a player and is productive and good and lives up to what they thought he could be when they drafted him, I mean, to me, that's a pretty big deal for this defense. Even though everybody expects the defense, even either with or without him, to be good on paper, if he's good, that's a big deal for this group.
Right. Look how well they played at times last year with Fulton making a big jump in year two, sometimes hurt, Molden having his rookie ups and downs, getting better as the year went on. And then, various, you had some Buster Screen out there, some Chris Jackson out there. I mean, you think about, and obviously Jackrabbit out there, but you think about how good that defense was, especially as the season went on later in the season, and that now give it an improved, year two Molden, potentially making a jump or a decent-sized step, Fulton year three, and then Farley as a player who starts to live up to being a first-round pick. Man, that's a better secondary. It just is. With the safeties they have behind them on the pass rush, it's a potentially quite a concoction there for the Titans.
Coming up next, we'll take a look around the NFL with some training camp headlines through day one. We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman coming up at 9 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. from Devontae to Allen, it's going to be, a transition. But he's capable of a lot. And the way things have gone with the reps and the guys that we've had here and the targets that we've doled out, he hasn't had a ton of opportunities. But he's since his first day here, he's turned heads, and so it's not surprising him to go out and have a really consistent day today. But he's been working hard. He has led the group, I think, to himself and other people, maybe to the team as well. So I like a hungry Alan Lazard. And it'll be an adjustment for us, but I'm happy with day one.
As Aaron Rodgers pointed out, always tough to go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, from Devontae Adams to Alan Lazard. His troll game has been at 100% capacity this week.
That is pretty good. That's a better line than any line Nicholas Coppola had in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, it was. Some interesting times. By the way, a quick sidebar. We talked about this earlier this week, like the Packers and the Titans, the 2-1 seeds last year in the AFC and the NFC, about how both of their wide receiving cores have been depleted. And then the story from day one of training camp for both of them, the wide receiving cores playing really well. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, how about that? It's some of these camp observations, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just as guilty as anybody. They just look amazing out there. By the way, yeah. I'd just like to say Emily Proud just announced on Twitter she's departing. News too. That is rejected. Thank you. Nashville rejects your departure. You will be staying here. Sorry, Emily. Sorry to break that news, but we're not letting you leave. Sorry.
That's correct.
An official announcement from Nashville.
Nice thought, but no.
It's probably not going to work. Congrats, Emily, on whatever is to come.
Yes, absolutely. She's no question best. About it. So, Joe, I got your thoughts on this briefly yesterday, but now that you've had a day to digest it and look at it, what in the world do you make of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving Julio Jones $6 million with a max value of $8 million, I guess, if the incentives are met? I honestly, when I saw that number, I was like, are you kidding me? $6 million for Julio Jones? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's – man, that is high. That is high. Now, Jared brought up a good point yesterday on the – like how much of it is guaranteed, and is it he's predicting that he's going to get cut. Like it's, basically he's going to get none of it, and they're just going to take a look at him, and this is what he, would obviously make it. I don't even know how that would work. I would assume that I'd like to see the details of the contract. I mean, it's an interesting thought there. Obviously, they're going to pay him something for him to show up, but it's high. I mean, it's just a high number. It must have taken that to, even though Julio Jones talked about coming back because he's gonna, play for a ring. I wondered, would he come back to play for like $2-3 million? And I'm guessing no. So that's a lot of faith in a guy who just has struggled so much to even get on the field the last 2 years.
Well, it is. And then you look at their receiving core, like when Godwin's healthy again and you've got Mike Evans there, like if Julio can give you something, I guess he's nice to have. But, what sort of a role is Julio going to play? You got Russell Gage in there, too. Like he's going to be a factor. So, like when everybody's healthy, I don't know is Julio going to be your fourth or fifth receiver? What's he think about that?
Yeah, right. That's a good point. I mean, to me, I guess if you're making that, if you're making that kind of money, and I don't know exactly what the incentives are, if it's just, if they're statistical incentives, participation incentives, some combination. But if you're making 6 to 8 and you can win a ring, I guess he'd probably hang out, and stay in there if that's what it comes to. But, hey, look, maybe he's fine. A year ago, I know I was thinking, okay, he had the hamstring, but when he played in 20, he still looked really good. He was explosive. He made plays. He had good numbers. So maybe that's not a big deal. The problem is when you stack that year on top of last year or stack last year on top of 20, right, then it just starts to look like just a player who's physically breaking down. And that's where the surprise in that number is just, man, how could you feel good about him once you really get to the point of full speed running and contact of that guy staying healthy right now? It just goes so fast, especially in your 30s at non-quarterback positions in the NFL.
Yeah, that's going to be – I'm really interested to see number one, I'm interested to see, like, is he going to be on the field and available by the time the Titans and the Bucs have these joint practices? Like, is Julio, you know, he talked yesterday being 100% healthy. You know, we've heard that before last year here with the Titans. So, you know, I believe him. I guess he is healthy, but that could change pretty quickly, as we saw with Julio Jones last year. So my first benchmark for Julio Jones as a member of the Bucs: are you healthy by the time the joint practices roll around for the Titans? Because honestly, I really want to see it, and I hope that he is.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, that definitely sweet. I mean, we've got some those practice days are already good.
Yeah,
that's always probably the best part of training camp anymore. Like they've surpassed preseason games as the most interesting thing, because you actually have frontline players competing with other starters.
Yeah.
But man, you think about what we get. We get the Julio return, you know, we get some nice some Brady action in there. Good questions are coming his way. Vrabel will troll him in some way. And then, you know, like you say, like Kyler Murray,
he's over there with his number two pencil and his Scantron taking a quiz on what defense he just saw. Yeah.
The Xbox will be over there. It's like, oh, man.
Kyler, stop playing Fortnite. It's 3rd and 2. Need you to get out there.
Kyler, get your face out of your phone. Come on. Yeah, the play clock's running down. A lot of fun stuff coming.
I got to tell you, this is quickly turning into my favorite NFL story of all time. Like, this is amazing with Kyler Murray and this independent work contract.
It is. The thing is, like, yes, it is going to be fodder forever. Like, it's like Tennessee in the McDonald's bags. Like, when something like this, it doesn't matter. You know, like, whatever happens, it's just going to be a joke now. And I have to think it's just going to be damaging for him and them. But we'll see. I guess all you can do is ball out. After reviewing which opponent you're playing this week, make sure you check out, you know, look at the schedule. Take a few moments to check out the schedule and see who you're playing.
It's like that story of apparently like Brett Favre didn't know what a nickel defense is until like his second year in the league. It's like, what's a nickel defense?
What?
And then like they explained to him what it, like, you know, it's just an extra defensive back coming in. He's like, oh, is that all it is? Oh, okay. Well, who cares? And he gets out there and he just throws the ball. It's a classic story. You got to look it up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a heck of a story. And there's no way Brett Favre taught him that, because I think Favre just went out and just, like, chucked the ball as hard as he could, right, every play?
Yeah, that's
what he never read a defense.
No, I had no clue. Just amazing. Other news around the league yesterday, Marcus Mariota officially the starter in Atlanta. So your dream, one step closer, Joe Rexroad, to becoming a reality of the Marcus Mariota resurgence in this league.
Look, it would just be really fun to see it happen. You know what's interesting about Mariota is he went number two back in 2015. Jameis Winston went number one. I'm seeing quite a bit of watch out for Jameis Winston. He's better than you think.
And
you know what? I'm not opposed to it. I'm really not. Like, I've always thought if you could – just totally figure him out, he could be really good. But why is there just a complete dismissal of Mariota as someone who could be an effective quarterback in this league? I know I'm not asking the right person.
Because
who
sucks.
Thinks he's an arm. Yeah, there you go. This is good. This is a good warm-up for Jared. He sucks. I don't know, man. I'm here for his opportunity. I'm glad he got one. And I'm going to be watching with great interest. Just to see if he can put it together. I still believe with Mariota. Like, you know, last year with Tannehill crapped out in the playoffs, the Titans fans bring up Mariota are like, dude, are you serious? Tannehill has been much better than Mariota. But the one thing I'll say with Mariota, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Arthur Smith has to unleash the athleticism. You know, Arthur Smith has to make that offense something that suits him. And I know you have to think long-term, and they drafted Desmond Ridder. He's not that kind of athlete. I get it. But to me, if you're Mariota, let it rip, man. Let it rip and use everything you have. He's still an elite athlete at the quarterback position in this league. He has talent. Let it let it all hang out. Let your whole game show. Let's see what happens.
Let it rip, Tater Chip.
There you go. Nice.
It'll nice be heard by week three.
It may be. It may be. But you know what? What are you saving yourself for anymore? You know? I mean, most of his pro career from here is probably going to be holding the clipboard, making good money, not getting hurt, being a backup. You know what? You got one more chance to be a starter. Go do everything you can do. That's my motivational speech for Mariota.
As I always say, we love Marcus Mariota, the person here on this program. I feel like I need to make that clear.
Yeah. Well, this program does not have a unified view of Marcus Mariota. Let's make that clear.
Well, we do on the fact that we love him.
Well, there you go. Very, very good person. Didn't love his pressers.
Not great.
Very nice person.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman, and we'll see if Joe Rexroad's blood pressure spikes at all during this next segment. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.